Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. Well, Jim, your assessment of the first round of the draft for the Vikings.
I think it was a very good day for the Vikings, and it was a good day for me, because at least one NFL team agreed with my draft board.
Yes.
The Falcons, you know, it was leaked that the Falcons had Jaden Daniels as their number one quarterback, Michael Penix as their number two quarterback. I agree with that. They valued Penix so much, they drafted him with the eighth pick, though they just gave Kirk Cousins $100 million, which is fascinating and kind of funny. Really funny, actually. And the Vikings, I thought, did very well. They got a quarterback. I think their dream was to get an affordable deal, trade up to number three, and take Drake May. Either the Patriots weren't willing to take any reasonable offer, or they just wanted the quarterback. Either way, the Vikings had no chance of doing that.
Yeah.
They did the next best thing. They got McCarthy without having to give up their other first-round draft pick. Then they drafted a very talented edge rusher. So this draft went about as well as it could have in my eyes. Now they had to give up a little draft capital to move up in both cases. I think the fact that they're going to get some compensatory picks, maybe they get a pick out of the Falcons tampering thing, and they're going to have a massive amount of cap space free next year. I don't think that the loss of draft capital is going to hurt them very much if these two guys can play.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the case with every guy taken in the draft, if they can actually play. And we'll see, obviously, on that. So what do you think the plan is then? Do you think the plan is to let McCarthy play behind Darnold, or if he can beat him out in training camp next year, he starts from day one?
I'm sure they have a plan. These NFL teams have plans for everything.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't really have to have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
I think the smartest thing to do is start working with McCarthy, assess how ready he is, see how he looks in training camp, and figure it out later. You know, you don't need to make that decision now. Most bad decisions are made because they were made prematurely.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when, the Seahawks, I think it was Matt Flynn, they gave a bunch of money to be the starting quarterback. Then they drafted Russell Wilson in the third round. Russell Wilson, a week into training camp, Pete Carroll looks at his assistant and says, Wilson's our starter.
Yeah.
I don't care what we pay the other guy. So if McCarthy comes in, and McCarthy will be the starter when he looks like he's ready to be the starter.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's game one, great. If it's game 12, great. If it's next year, that's fine too.
Yeah. Yeah, and gosh, Darnold is only 26. He could still have some value. You know, some quarterbacks rise or fall based on the situation they find themselves in. And J.J. McCarthy found himself in a pretty doggone good spot.
He did. And that's why I think he's a tougher evaluation. You know, everybody said, okay, he's going to go number four or five. Everybody's going to trade the world to go up and get him. And I didn't like that because I don't think he's shown enough as a passer for people to spend extra draft capital, you know, two first-round draft picks on him. I don't think he was worth that. Now, where the Vikings were, which is Penix goes off the board at eight, we don't know how much the Vikings like Penix. We know they like McCarthy. It was a pretty easy decision at that point to just trade up one spot to make sure you got your guy. They probably would have gotten him at 11 anyway, but it blocked somebody else from trading with the Jets, maybe the Broncos or the Raiders. So I actually think Kwesi did a pretty good job here.
Yeah.
He got two very talented players at the two most important positions in the sport to retool or rebuild around.
Yeah, let's get back to that Falcons pick. Now, that had to surprise even you that they went to Penix in the first round, eighth overall, when they just signed Cousins to that massive contract.
I am not surprised Penix got picked higher than everybody expected, because I think he's a great player. I am shocked as the Falcons, absolutely shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two schools of thought on this. One is the Falcons absolutely blew their chance of making a big leap this year. The one thing they need on offense is a number one wide receiver. They already have a great running back. They have good secondary receivers. They have very good tight ends. You add Odunze to that group, and that offense could have been spectacular. Or you could have added the best defensive player in the draft to a fairly weak defense.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they take Penix. And, you know, listen, it's obviously a mistake. There's a mistake someplace. Either they made a mistake in giving Cousins all that money, or they made a mistake in drafting a quarterback after giving Cousins that money. There's no way they didn't make a mistake.
Yeah.
But what I've heard from people today is that they were so blown away by Penix's workout, throwing in 50-degree weather, a little bit of rain, high winds, his ball is slicing through that wind. That's a big separator for quarterbacks. Can you throw the ball in any conditions? The ball is zipping. He throws the anticipation. He's a really good player.
Yeah.
And they just looked at him and said, we may never, if we have a good season this year, if we build a good program, we're never going to have an eighth pick again for a while. This is our last chance to get a great young quarterback. And if we end up bumping Cousins out of the way early, so be it.
Yeah, so interesting. I wonder how Cousins felt about it. There's been some things leaked from his agent and so forth. He's not too happy about it, yeah.
He's not happy, and I wouldn't be either.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, of course he's not happy. They could have gotten him a number one receiver, or they could have strengthened the defense. They could have helped him win this year. But this is where I don't have any sympathy for him. He's Kirk Cousins. He knows where he ranks. He's played the money and leverage game so well that I can't feel any sympathy for him. He went to Atlanta for the money, and this is what he gets.
Well, interesting times there in Atlanta, that's for sure. And what an insurance policy for them, too. I mean, sure, Cousins was healthy his whole career until he wasn't, and sometimes that leads to further injury, especially the older you get. So even if Penix doesn't play for a couple of years, he's a great insurance policy for him.
Yeah, and Cousins is like 36.
Yep.
I mean, he, you know, and so, you know, maybe what happens is Cousins is the starter for 2 years. Penix is a very good backup who's learning. And in 2 years from now, they take whatever salary cap hit they have to take to get rid of Cousins, and Penix is their guy.
Yeah, and I think by that third year, it isn't quite as onerous a hit either. No. as the first 2 years.
No, it's a front-loaded contract. Yeah. They would take a hit, but they wouldn't take a brutal hit.
Yeah. Your column today was not about the draft. You had other guys covering the draft. You were talking Timberwolves. Tell us about your column.
Yeah, so I went back and watched basically the first half of the first quarter. Here you have the Suns, great offensive team. They averaged 116 points. They got shut down, but held to 95 in the first game. You know they're going to come out blazing. They know what the Wolves are doing to them. They are desperate to win. And in the first seven possessions of the game, first Suns seven possessions of the game, they didn't score. The Wolves committed zero fouls. They forced three turnovers, and they forced four missed shots. Three of long two-pointers. The only Suns basket in the first 10 possessions of the game was that falling out of bounds, shot end of the shot clock, desperation heave by Grayson Allen. So I just broke down exactly why the Wolves are so effective, how they did it. One thing they did is they met the ball at midcourt, hassled the ball handler, took away easy passes, and made them burn clock before they could get into their offense. Number two is very cohesive job of fighting through screens and switching at the right time. There's one play where I think Nurkic had Connelly had been forced to switch under Nurkic. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a foot taller than he is. Nurkic is rolling to the rim. Edwards jumps out, takes Nurkic, and bodies him so Connelly can run at Booker at the three-point line. Connelly gets there in time to force a really bad miss. That's just great defense. It's hard to play defense in the NBA, and this team is so good at it.
Some teams are limited in how much switching they can do because they have weak individual defenders. Everybody can switch defensively for the Wolves because everybody can defend.
Yes, and I saw Towns playing really good help defense. I saw him playing really good defense on Durant. Conley forced Durant to miss on the first shot of the game. He forced Booker to miss a three-pointer. You have McDaniels and Conley are both experts at fighting through screens. So is Alexander Walker. You have Ant, who's a superstar who plays hard defense. You know, then you have Gobert, who can defend anywhere from the rim to the three-point line and has been exceptional this year at chasing people outside without getting burned.
I did not get a chance to see Simeon Woods-Richardson pitch yesterday for the Twins. I don't know if you saw it at all or not.
Yep.
Gave him five solid innings.
Yeah, he didn't look great in the first three innings, but he got through it, and then he looked stronger toward the end. Honestly, he's exactly what you want for a fifth starter. He's going to go out there, he's going to give you five innings, he's going to keep in the game, give you a chance to win. That's what valuable fifth starters do. Varland is going to be working as a starter in St. Paul. Did a podcast with Roy Smalley today. He said he still likes Varland's stuff. Everybody wants Varland in the bullpen, except Twins management. Rocco wants him in the bullpen, I want him in the bullpen, Roy wants him in the bullpen, where his stuff plays up and he's dominant. But Roy does believe that his stuff is good enough if he commands it. His cutter, the 90-mile-an-hour cutter, should play if he throws it for strikes and commands it in the strike zone. He's just not doing that right now.
Mike Trout has 10 home runs in 25 games so far. For years, he was the best player in the game, and he never made the playoffs with the Angels. Is he going to go his whole career and have one playoff appearance?
Probably. Yeah. The Angels are bad again this year. The Twins are going to be facing the Angels. Great player. And listen, the guy's going to make $500 million in his career. He gets to play in the beautiful sunshine of Southern California. He has a great life. But, yeah, as a competitor, would like to see him in the playoffs more. And he's having another great season. And, one of the great swings in baseball history. Short, compact, incredibly powerful. He's the guy you would build if you're building a right-handed hitter.
Yep. Jim, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort.